and laughter and coffee with Renee Bernard, women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee. I am Renee Bernard, and that intro always makes it sound like I know what I'm doing, which just cracks me up. But tonight, from her deathbed, Sandy Wickersham McWhorter, which, by the way, I have practiced saying that five times really fast over and over and over. But I like sandywick.com. I like that you just have Sandy Wick.
Yes. Anyway, makes it easier
Sandy
to remember.
She's ill, but I got to tell you, it's sexy. I think it's working for you. I don't know. I don't know. Do you feel bad, really?
No, not really. It's just one of those fall things some people get when the nose clogs up and the dust flies and the leaves fall, you know, that kind of stuff.
There's a million factors that go into the whole fall, crud, autumn thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But the husky, I don't know. I think it sounds good. Of course, I don't know how you normally sound. Perhaps you're normally a very high falsetto, pixie-ish kind of voice.
No,
and then,
very low voice.
This would be a huge change.
Very low.
You know. See, there you go. So I didn't know that. You sound great. You sound great.
Excellent.
No one will ever know, except I told them that you're sick. So they'll know.
We won't spread
it
around. That's all.
Yeah. No. I will just pretend that didn't happen. All right, so it's sandywick.com, which, by the way, I just love. And, guys, it's wick like a candle. Don't go getting creative out there when you try and look for this website. It makes me cranky. All right, so because they do, they get creative. Our readers, our listeners get very creative. So it's sandywick.com, and I've been nosing around ever so slightly because it helps. Yeah. It's radio, but I should probably have some vague idea of what kind of books you write. Don't you think? It's helpful. I mean,
Wouldn't hurt.
Wouldn't hurt. I mean, I have had guests where I had no idea, and then I regretted it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oops, really should have looked that up first. Really should have checked.
Yes. Oh, boy, do I know.
Do you? Yeah.
Yes.
So
I interviewed the guy that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima.
Did you really?
At a bookstore here where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Before me, the TV personality in my town interviewed him. And when she finished with him, he came to me, "That woman doesn't even know who I am." She didn't read my book. She did no research. And later on, he thanked me when we were done for knowing who he was, what he did, why he did it, and for actually reading his book and buying it.
Wow.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm not going to insult you with the lack of, there's an in-depth research. Let's make it clear here. I just, you know, glanced. I didn't I didn't read books or go in-depth, and I have a 4 and a 7-year-old, so it's a wonder that I'm actually functioning in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to say that right out loud. But
your newspaper-level reading, in other words.
Why, thank you. Yes, about that. But how do you not research? If you're interviewing the gentleman who is flying that plane or dropped that bomb, how do you not take a good look at that first? I mean, how does that enter? Hey, how was the weather over Japan?
She was a young, ditzy person who had no concept of history.
Wow.
Obvious. It was obvious to me because I saw a few minutes of the interview. Oh, heavens to Betsy.
It was bad, yeah. Well, you know, the morning shows, though, they get fluffier and fluffier and fluffier, the local ones, and nobody send me hate mail. But you know what I'm saying. It just gets dippier and dippier and dippier, and oh, well. Said the woman who writes romance. I don't know. Can I throw rocks? Am I allowed to throw? I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, I do research the history. If I'm writing something set in Victorian London in 1860, I have all my little ducks in a row, and I know who's what and where and what war we're in and what is upon us. So
yes, good for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I am looking at the Diamond Road, and or at least the cover. Ooh.
Breathtaking, isn't it?
Very intriguing. I'm like, ooh. Now, are you up in the frozen tundra?
No, I live in Ohio.
Ooh,
central, north central Ohio. I made a lot of phone calls and emails to people in Yellowknife, and I got exact details. I am notorious for researching and using exact details.
I love that. I love it. Although, I have to say, from a standpoint of someone not living in any kind of frozen situation, Ohio immediately evokes icy, chilly images in my head. I'm like, it gets cold. It gets cold here in the winter. Yeah, memo to you. I don't know if you knew this, but Ohio is cold in the winter.
Some years, not so much. Several years ago, I had snapdragon still blooming in late December behind my fish pond.
No.
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
No. I spent a winter in Toledo, and I'm telling you right now, that is not possible. I've been to Toledo, so I'm in a little bit of disbelief there with the snapdragon story. I'm not going to believe
lie.
You. But,
I have a picture.
You know, okay, then. Yeah. All right.
Yellowknife is a really cold place. So.
Oh, it sounds. I mean, everything about that setting, and, of course, there's all these reality shows. There's just something about that that's just, yeah.
Breathtaking?
I just can't believe people are up there. You know? I mean, it's kind of like Mars. I just, really? Why are we, what? There just must be, I don't know. I know that there are financial incentives and resources and things that have to happen, but the big wimpy part of me is like, why are we up there? What are you doing up there? People are not supposed to be, you know. If your eyeballs can freeze in your head, I don't believe that that is a zone that human beings should be in. That's my rule.
The words... Not on God's green earth comes to mind for me. I would not
really?
Live up there
See?
If they paid me $1 million. But I would visit a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you and I, we are together, you and me. We retiring, we will be somewhere in the tropical. Maybe not too tropical, because I don't want a palmetto bug the size of my hand. I think that's just wrong. Santa, right?
Lake
here.
Erie,
so,
perhaps.
Okay.
Or Lake Mead. Hoover Dam.
Yeah, I'm high maintenance. I don't want to go too far, you know. But what fun, the Diamond Road. And it does look very icy and dangerous and intriguing and scary and just all of the things that a thriller should be. I'm just going to say it. And it's Wickersham McWhorter.
Wickersham McWhorter, absolutely.
Very English
and Scottish.
Wow, that's what I was going to say. You've covered the border there.
You can imagine the fights that ensue. You can imagine the fights that ensue in this house.
Well, you've hyphenated, so that's an indication right there that there's a little bit of compromise, but not a lot, because both names are still present. So that's a sign. And
I had to do that. Had to, in order to honor my father and my my heritage as well as my husband's.
Absolutely. Well, I love that. I absolutely love that. I have a cat howling. Hold on, I'm going to see. Everybody's okay. All right. Oh, sorry, I'm interrupting. I have cats. Do you have cats? You have a cat?
I have a dog.
You have a dog?
Oh. Yep.
Dogs are great.
She's my second dog in the last 2 years because the one, Sheena, that I had, the Shepherd Husky mix, tomorrow will be the second anniversary of her death of breast cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I saw her picture on your webpage and that she'd passed, and I was so sorry to see that.
She's immortalized in Cottonwood Place, though.
Oh, isn't that fun? As a writer, it's kind of fun to have that power. You know, to be able to immortalize, you know, loved ones. But also, word up, evil people, we can also put you in as villains.
And we can kill
bodies.
You.
Or, there you go. I was just going to say, or you can, you might not make it to the end of the book. You know,
yes.
Your survival is not guaranteed. So there you go. Well, I'm going to kill both of your last names. Just because I collect really great names, and those are just fabulous names. And I don't know, Wickersham, I'm wondering if I've already skirted right up to that one, but I don't care. I'm going to put that one down. That one's going to go in a book right there.
Cool. Very cool.
Just in order also. If it's not too modern, I'm thinking I'm going to get to wheel that one out.
Both are very ancient. Very ancient names.
I'm good to go then. Good to go.
Yep.
What I love is one glance at your published works, and it's like, okay, you are not compelled to stay in any one setting or in any one flavor of, how shall I put it? You're like the Baskin Robbins. I can tell already as your books are going to unfold and your books go from here, I think you're going to be like visiting Baskin Robbins. There's going to be so many great flavors of stories and romances that your readers are just never going to get tired. They're never going to be like, oh, yeah, I've read. Yeah,
so
Wickersham
true.
The Quarter. Read that. It's
so
like,
true.
Oh, no. Have you read her latest? It's a time travel with,
so
you know,
true.
Right? Shapeshifters. Be like, what? No.
Shapeshifters, those are in the Winds of Fall. No.
Oh, there you
almost.
Go. I didn't read
almost.
That one. Sorry, guys.
Almost. My next one will be called Orion Comes in Winter.
Ooh.
It's a space opera type thing, like in the 1950s kind of thing, setting out a space war.
I love it.
War and all that good stuff. And I've researched Sun Tzu for how to successfully win a war between six planets. And also at the same time, I'll be writing my memoir called Feral Child, An Indiana Treasure Hunt.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm going to be very busy writing the next, year or so. And totally different subjects, too. Just way off the wall different.
But I love that, actually. That was one of the most intriguing. Immediately, I was just completely intrigued and impressed with that. Because, why limit, as a great story is a great story. So, why limit yourself if you don't have to? Although the Feral
right.
Child one, that is off the wall. That sounds.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to read it just because. I'm just saying, because it sounds really crazy.
I just don't
think of Indiana as being treasure hunt. I just love that.
It's kind of a. I was told treasure hunt is not the right term to use, but to me it is a treasure hunt because when I was a child, pirate shows were the thing.
Ooh.
As Miley Cyrus now is the bomb, pirate shows were the bomb back then. We hunted for treasure all the time.
Well, I don't
so
know
for
if
me,
she's
that
the
is
bomb
the key.
Or the disaster or I don't know what Miley Cyrus is. I'm happy to have missed that entire generational, whatever the heck that disaster is unfolding.
Whew. Me too.
I dodged a bullet. Oh, like as if I had any chance of actually being in that. Yeah. Okay. Oh, see, so that piano music means that we're supposed to start saying goodnight and wrap it up.
Aww.
And it goes fast. I know.
I know.
So everybody, it's sandywick.com. Pick up Sandy's latest and actually go ahead and start at the beginning. It'll be worth it. There's just so many great reads on there. And I really am so glad that I tricked you into coming on the show. And I had such a great time.
Hey, I have the gift of gab, and I love to exercise it.
Well, there you go. And now
absolutely.
I'm going to have to track you down. I have to meet you, and just we're going to have to hang out. That's all I know.
Oh,
out.
I love it. I will.
All right, people. I hope you have a wonderful holiday, Thanksgiving ahead. And I'm thankful for my listeners, and I'm thankful for writing and for the
and
wonderful author friends
readers.
That I meet. Yeah. So, see, and for warm weather. So there you go. All right, everybody. Love you, and we'll see you next week for more canned laughter and coffee. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.